Number 40. Genesis chapter number 40. And I was trying to decide between two different sermon titles tonight and the same sermon, just trying to figure out what the best title is. And there's a couple there, so you can write down whatever you want if you're keeping notes. The first one is, why did Joseph care? And the second one, is it ever okay to stop caring? Why did Joseph care, or is it ever okay to stop caring? And you look in the story here, Joseph is being told to serve the butler and the baker while he's in prison, and he cares about them. And he said, well, what's so special about that? Well, you think about everything Joseph had ever been through and everything Joseph had ever gone through. You would think at some point in time in his life, he would just stop caring. If he had gone through being hated by his brothers, thrown into a pit, sold into slavery, to working hard at Potiphar's house, becoming the head of the house in a sense, and then being falsely accused and thrown into the prison cell unjustly. And all throughout this time, God had given him a dream. God had given him something in his life that he was supposed to be looking forward to doing, and God was working and moving. But even while in the prison cell, he does well, and he rises up to being in charge of the different prisoners, and then he's there with the butler and the baker, and he walks in, and he sees that they're sad, and the guy actually cares about them being sad. And I wonder if it's ever okay to stop caring. At some point in time, you would think, hey, there's got to be a time where enough is enough. But Joseph here gives us an example where he just kept on caring, he kept on serving, and you saw how God worked and moved. And the thought tonight is, in our Christian lives, when we serve and minister to other people, sometimes we get hurt, and sometimes things go wrong, and sometimes things go bad. And the question is there ever a time to make sure it's okay that we stop caring about other people? As a young pastor, I had a lady come to me, a mom. You know how moms are protective of their kids sometimes, and you don't ever want to get a mom upset around their kid. And you don't want to mess with a mom's kid because they snap right off. And so a mom came to me and said, asked me, is it ever right to stop putting yourself out there for somebody? Another adult had done something that hurt a child, not physically, not in an abusive way, but they had done something that was just, it was inappropriate or mean. And the mom's coming to me because she was an individual that loved the Lord and loved people. And they says, when is it okay to say, hey, that's enough, we're not going to keep on, putting that out there? And you know, over the last 16 years, I've seen and learned a lot and been hurt a few times, as I'm sure anybody who opens up their heart. And I told the mom, and once again, I don't remember exactly what I said, but I said something like this: you don't have to put your child in danger, obviously, if we don't want to discourage your child, but at the same time, nowhere does it say we're supposed to stop caring. There's nowhere where it says we're supposed to stop praying and stop serving the individual. And God does not expect you to put your child out there to continually get hurt over and over. We're given a responsibility to protect our children and to raise our children up, but they have to learn these lessons too, because someday when they're trying to minister to other people, guess what? Someone's going to hurt them. Sometimes when you open up your heart, some people just don't care. You ever been there? You've put yourself out there over and over and over, and then someone hurts you? And unfortunately, when you open up your heart to try to help someone, or when you open up your heart to try to care for somebody, sometimes you get hurt. Sometimes somebody does something that you never expected they would do, and you want to look at them, you want to shake them, really, and say, you really did this to me? After all the time I cared, after all the time that the investment was there, after all the times I've opened my heart and showed and demonstrated a love towards you, you're going to treat me like that? And, you know, I'm not saying for me personally, but I know if anybody has ever opened their heart to people, if anybody has ever tried to go on the extra mile and want to minister out of a love and a care for someone else, sometimes it hurts. Sometimes people do stupid things. And caring about people sometimes hurts. To truly serve the Lord by caring for others, sometimes you have to open up your heart, and sometimes that means it's going to get broken. And here in this story, I see Joseph, and I understand Joseph. Joseph is one of my favorite Bible characters. Most of you know my first name is Joseph, and my youngest son's middle name is Joseph. It's a family name from my mom's side, but I guess I've always been intrigued by this story of Joseph in my life because of the fact that he kept on doing what's right. I mean, you go back and you look at his story. All he did was want to minister to his family and serve those that he was supposed to be responsible to. All he wanted to do, you know, yes, he told one of his brothers for doing wrong to his dad. And he was just trying to serve his father. And yes, he had a dream there, and God gave him a dream, and God gave him a dream to tell other people about it. I don't think he understood all of it, but it came to the point because he was the father's favorite, his brothers started hating him. You know what? He still loves his brothers. He still goes out looking for them, and even though they're not in one spot, he goes and keeps on going to them. And then when they're talking about killing him and putting him in the pit, and they sell him off in slavery, what does he do when he goes to Potiphar's house? Is he angry? Is he mad? Does he not? No, he does the best he can, and God blesses to where he's risen to the top. And while he's there, he's falsely accused by this woman and thrown into jail. What does he do? Does he sulk? No, he is hurt again over and over. He is betrayed over and over. He is done wrong by. And all this comes back at the beginning that he was supposed to be someday, somehow, a leader of his family to where they will bow down to him someday, that he's supposed to be a leader. And now he's sitting in a prison cell being falsely accused for something he has not done. And while sitting in the prison cell, he's asked to serve again. He's asked, hey, we want you to serve these butler and a baker. We want you to serve these other prisoners. And so once again, you don't see him shirking his responsibilities. You don't see him. And if it was me, and once again, you may be more spiritual than me, but by this point, when I walked in, I'd probably be doing the best I can, doing a good job. But I could really care less what the other prisoners, how they feel, what they're thinking. But Joseph here looks at him and says, why are you sad? He still cares. And the amazing part is, even though he has been hurt and mistreated by so many people, he still cares. And I often wonder what Joseph really thought at this point in his life. And I think when you look at this story, you can see this is what Joseph thought. Joseph still cared. And is there ever a time where we can say, hey, enough is enough? I shouldn't have to care anymore? Well, there's three things tonight I see in this story that I'd like for you to think about. And I would like for you to consider why Joseph kept on caring. And the answer is, if we trust in the Lord and believe in God, and God wants us to care, I don't think there's a time where we're allowed to stop caring. I think we're supposed to continue on caring, continue on working, and continue on serving. Obviously, there might be times and ways that we don't continually get hurt over and over. But if God's leading and guiding us to do things, we trust in him. And so let's jump in here. Genesis chapter number 40. Let's look at verses 1 through 8. Genesis chapter 40, verses 1 through 8. And it came to pass after these things that the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker had offended their lord, the king of Egypt. So the butler and the baker. And you see here in the story that's going on, these are high-ranking officials. A butler is someone who would serve the food. And so many times a butler would be responsible for drinking something before the king to make sure there's no type of poison in it. The baker is also responsible for the food. These are high-ranking officials. These are not just guys serving back in the back of the restaurant. This is the baker. This is the butler. This is the one that has access to the king. And Pharaoh was wroth against two of his officers. And they're saying to the two officers, because it says against the chief of the butlers and against the chief of the bakers. As they're doing some studying on this, sometimes, many times, these are family members of the Pharaoh because those are the ones that they can trust. Don't know that to be sure, but that is, you know, some of the times in that tradition, that time they trusted their family, so they would make them responsible for certain areas. And he says, and he put them in ward, talking about prison, and in the house of the captain of the guard. Into the prison, the place where Joseph was bound. So they're there and they're put. Once again, these are special prisoners. These are high-ranking officials. These are chiefs inside of the Pharaoh's house. They're in that prison cell. And it says, and the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them, and they continued a season in ward. Saying that not only did he serve him one day, he had the responsibility to serve him day after day after day. It says in verse number 5, and they dreamed a dream, both of them, and each man his dream in one night, each man according to the interpretation of his dream, the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, which were bound in the prison. So that night they had a dream, and they were distraught about it. They didn't know what was going on. They were similar in the dreams. It happened on the same night. They discussed what was going on. And Joseph came in unto them in the morning and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. I don't know about you, but I can hear what some of you are saying. oh, poor baby. They're sad. Oh, that's a shame. That's not the way Joseph looks at it. I mean, Joseph actually shows concern. Sometimes when someone's hurting or someone's concerned, the first thing we tell them is to, you know, grow up, you know, get over it. You know, they don't really care about how they're feeling or how things are affecting them. We just say, hey, it's because why? It's because we don't want to care. It's because we don't want to open our heart to try to help. And then it says here, and Joseph came in the morning and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. And he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of the Lord's house, saying, wherefore look ye so sadly today? And it says, and they said unto him, we have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it. And Joseph said unto them, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, I pray you. So Joseph says here in verse number 8, what are you sad about? It is God is the one that interprets the dreams. It's God's the one that gives the dreams. It's God that's going to see these things come about. Let's have a word of prayer and ask God's help for us tonight in the service. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for today. Lord, I see this story of Joseph, and there's so many things we can learn from the life of Joseph. We see Christ in Joseph's life in many different ways, but here we see how Joseph still cares. Joseph still loves, even though he's been mistreated, even though he's been betrayed, even though he's been lied about, he still is willing to open his heart to be an encouragement and a help to someone else. Lord, I know that in some of our lives, it's just easier not to care. Sometimes it feels like it's easier not to open our heart to people because we've been hurt in the past. But Lord, I pray you would speak to our hearts about what you would want us to do as we trust and have faith in you. Lord, to give us wisdom on how to deal with others, and to give us wisdom on how to respond to when people take advantage of us. Lord, help us to learn what your word says about these things, and help us to be encouraged by the example of Joseph, how in the end you were able to use his life in a way to save many people's lives. And Lord, help us to see that you're always at work, and that we can trust in you, and that we should not stop caring about others. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, in the work of the Lord, now, I don't know, most of you, if I look around the crowd, most of you have been at church for a while in your life. Most of you have seen, heard things. And sometimes people do stupid things. Sometimes people will do things that you look at them and say, why in the world would you do that? Why in the world would you say that? Why in the world would you act that way? It's not godly, it's not right, or are you just trying to hurt somebody? Now, I have some stories over the years, but I'm not going to use those stories because the only ministry I've ever been here was here, so I don't want anybody trying to say, well, it must be this person or that person. But I heard a pastor tell a story one time I thought was kind a little bit humorous, and it kind of tells you the story, what's going on. This pastor at a place where they had a school at, and the hallway's busy where his office was, and his office door has a window in it. And in that window, people would always just stop by and, you know, knock on the window and wave to kids and things like that. So he would take a piece of cardboard, and when he was studying and did not want to be disturbed, he would take that piece of cardboard, he would put it in the door, and everybody would know that if the cardboard's in the door, don't come in and talk to the pastor. He's studying or he's meeting with somebody. And as the story goes along, you know, his wife always has access. That's a good thing. If a wife can always come in, and his wife came in and she was upset. Sometimes preachers' wives get upset. I don't know if you know that to be true or not, but sometimes when you open up your heart and things happen, you know, sometimes they get upset. The pastor's wife comes in, he puts the cardboard up there, and they're having this serious conversation, this and that. And later on, they get done talking, he takes the cardboard down, and he's going to disciple with somebody, and the person he's discipling comes in and sits down, and they start discipling. And then when he looks up on the window, there's two smudges, and they are smudges of people's ears. It means that somebody, while he was trying to talk to his wife about something that was personal and something that was important to his wife, came up and they were listening to the conversation that him and his wife were having. You'd be like, really, somebody would do that? Yeah, they do sometimes. And it's a shame. Sometimes when people think of Christian things or church things, they think they can act whatever way they want, and they think they're entitled to whatever, and they can act and behave badly. Now, have I ever acted or behaved badly before? I sure did. You know what I got accused of acting like this week? I got accused of acting like a man. They said, and you're acting like a man. I said, what am I supposed to act like? And I'm thinking, I know what I'm supposed to act like. I'm supposed to act like Christ, and I'm acting more fleshly than I am Christ. And I think they were joking, but it was the idea that they says, hey, man, you're just acting like a man. And I was like, well, thank you. But I think they were saying that they thought I was going to be a little bit more Christ-like when I said certain things, and I was joking around. But what does that come to? Where do you... People sometimes behave badly, and I've done it before, so I'm not trying to cast, you know, some thoughts here, but in this room, we got to make sure that we don't, the cost of Christ is more important than your immaturity. Don't think we get throw our weight around. Don't be the person that we're talking about breaking someone's heart. You know, we are supposed to be out and reaching and trying to reach other people for Christ. We're supposed to keep on caring, but there are people out there that are going to act like, to make you act like you don't want to care anymore. I don't know about you, but there's been people that have hurt me, and there's been people I've seen that hurt you before. But the question is, when do we stop caring? When is it okay to stop caring? I wonder, if you didn't have chapter number 40 here, I wonder what Joseph would have felt like. When you come to chapter number 40, you see Joseph is still serving. Joseph is still caring. Joseph is still stopping and saying to these guys, hey guys, why are you sad? He still loves people. If we didn't have chapter 40 in the Bible, we would wonder, man, I bet you Joseph's upset. He's sitting in the prison cell. If we didn't see what God had told us, you know, how would you react? If you had been betrayed, if you had been sold, if you'd been hated by your family, and all you ever did was try to do what was right, all you ever did was try to demonstrate love, demonstrate help and service, and he worked hard for Potiphar, and he got lifted up, and Potiphar's wife lies about him. And, you know, he tried to be a servant to his father, and what ends up happening? He gets thrown in a pit. He gets sold in slavery. You know, sometimes things happen, and sometimes when you try to open up your heart and you try to care, people do things that are wrong. But you see in the story here, Joseph continues to respond. All he wanted to do was serve his family and serve his God, and he responded time and time again, and you see here that he still cared. And I wonder, I find it interesting. I remember when we went through Genesis, I don't know how many years ago we went through Genesis on Sunday mornings. I came to that spot, and I had never seen that before in the scriptures, that Joseph took the time to care about somebody that we probably wouldn't care about. And it was an amazing thought. So how about if we were in Joseph's spot? How about if all those things happened to us, and all we had done was just try to obey the Lord and try to minister to our families? All along the way, you find Joseph doing what he was supposed to do. He gave, he served, but he ended up in a pit. He was betrayed, he was accused. He served, but he was mistreated. Now he's asked again, I want you to go serve the butler. I want you to go serve the baker. And you don't see him getting upset. You don't see him getting mad. You don't see him, why should I have to do this? Or when he comes in, he sees these guys angry or upset. He doesn't say, hey, you should hear my story. I'm in prison. I don't even deserve to be here. No, you don't see that. He looks at them and he says, I care about what's going on in your life. How can I help you? He is opening his heart once again. So why in the world would a guy do that? Here's three things I think would be interesting to consider in Joseph's life. The first thing, and they all kind of tie in together, but I think you're going to see how the points cause each other to explain it. Number one is we should care because we do not know how God is going to work in the future. We should always care because we do not know how God is going to work in the future. Take your Bible to Genesis chapter 41. We're going to fast forward a few years here. Most of you know this story. I'll give you a little quick update if you don't. The butler and the baker, they tell them the dreams. Joseph interprets their dreams. One lives, one dies. And the one is taken back to the Pharaoh's court, and Joseph says to him, remember me. And 2 years later, Pharaoh has a dream. And because Pharaoh had a dream, Pharaoh wanted someone to interpret it. Nobody could interpret the dream. And then the butler remembers, hey, there's a guy back here. Once again, Joseph is mistreated. He's betrayed. He is forgotten by the butler. There's a guy in prison, this Hebrew, that interpreted my dream also. And they rush him in to see the Pharaoh. And let's look here in Genesis chapter 41, verses 14 through 16. And then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon. And he shaved himself and changed his raiment and came in unto the Pharaoh. And the Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. And I have heard say of thee that thou canst interpret, understand a dream to interpret it. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. So we see here, he's fast forwarding 2 years. because he cared over here about the baker and the butler, they gave him a dream. And because he gave him that dream, guess what happens? There opens a door and there's a seed planted in the butler's heart. 2 years later, as fast forward, he's there and he's in front of it and he hears it and he says, look, there's that guy that's that Hebrew. He says, I can't believe I forgot about him. I never even said anything to the Pharaoh about him like I had promised. And he brings him up. Joseph interprets the dream, and what happens? Joseph becomes the vice Pharaoh. Joseph becomes second in charge. Joseph is used by God to not only save many nations because of the famine that's coming. He is used by God to save his own family. And remember his own family, who that is. That's where the line of Christ is coming through. And you think about it, all throughout that, God is working and moving, God's preparing. But if he wouldn't have cared back here about the butler and the baker, if he wouldn't cared and been willing to open up his heart, guess what? Maybe he would have never been that second in charge of Pharaoh. Maybe he would have, God would have used a different way. Because he was willing to open his heart, God was able to work and move in Joseph's life. And I think that's an amazing thought. He says, we don't know how God's going to work in the future. We don't know how God's going to respond. But when Joseph shows that he cares, he probably didn't know that if he interprets this guy's dream, then he's going to interpret Pharaoh's dream. And someday he's going to get to be second in charge of Egypt. He didn't know that when he walked in that prison cell that day. He didn't know that when he walked in that prison cell and looked at them and decided, instead of just ignoring them, instead of saying, hey, they're getting what they deserve, I have it worse off than they do, I'm not going to open up my heart anymore. I've been hurt too many times. I've been hurt by too many people. Even my own brothers hated me. Even Potiphar's wife lies about me. I'm sitting in this prison cell. I'm not going to care about anybody else because I've been hurt. He doesn't do that. Because he opens his heart, it gives God a chance to be used by him. And look what happens to him down the road. He's able to be used the way God wanted to use him. If we're truly going to say, is there ever a time to stop caring? We're going to have to dismiss this idea that we never know how God's going to work in the future. The point is, even after experiencing the heartbreak by so many other people, he still felt and cared for others. And sometimes we do get hurt. And I'm not minimizing that. There's been times when I've been hurt and it's like, what's this? What's the point? Why should I keep on trying? And the reality is because I don't know how God's going to work in the future. If I could look in the future and saw that that individual someday was going to get right and someday that God was going to use him in a great and mighty way, if I could know that that person is going to be the Joseph someday that's going to save, you know, so many people, then yeah, I don't mind getting hurt a little bit, but you never know that. But we never know how God's going to work in the future. I've been around people and I've been around other churches, and even here at our church sometimes you see people that serve and they serve and they serve, but it just doesn't look like they're willing to care about others. They're willing to do exactly what they're supposed to do, and they're really nice people, and they work really hard, but they're not willing to open their heart. That's because they've been hurt before. They want to serve, but they just don't want to care anymore. People take advantage of others. And when people take advantage of us, we try to decide, is it really worth caring? Because people have thrown us in a pit, in a sense. We're tired of it happening, and we're going to do our ministry, we're going to do our job, but we're not going to leave ourselves open. I'm going to close myself off, and I'm just going to do my work, I'm just going to serve the Lord, and I've convinced myself that's good enough. Now, I've been to places, I've seen that. Sometimes it's somebody that we need, you should even pray for, that says, no. God wants our hearts to be open, to be able to be used by him. And sometimes it might mean that we get hurt. But we always remember, we never know how God's going to work in the future. Not everybody, and thankful for this, not everyone is like the person that put the ear print on the door. Most Christians, if you go around, look at most of our church family, most people are loving, most people are kind, most people are this, most people are that, and we enjoy being part of a church family together, and we don't mind opening our hearts to these people because there's a love that's there. But sometimes there are people that act like that person put the airprint on the door. You look at it and say, who does that? Who acts that way? And sometimes they focus so much on that one, they miss the whole point of what the church has to offer them. I've talked to people, and people say, well, I don't like so-and-so. And I say, I don't like so-and-so either, but I still come to church. No, I love them. And obviously, we all have different personalities. We all have different things and different thoughts. And there, and some people, we're all part of a family. And some people have a crazy aunt this or a crazy uncle this. But you know what? The crazy aunt this is different for other people. Because someone here says, I can't see how this person puts up with that person. And that person says, I can't see how that person puts up with that person. But we're not striving together to get along so we can all just go out and have a party. We're striving together for the faith of the gospel. We got a work that we can do. We can set aside our preferences and our differences and realize that's a child of God. And if God needs to do some work on them, then let God do some work on them. But I'm going to keep on working. I'm going to keep on serving. I'm going to keep on going. I'm going to be willing to care. I'm going to be willing to love. And I don't see where it says, hey, I shouldn't minister to them anymore. There are people who make you not want to minister to them. You know, if we've been paying attention, we would see so many more people that we don't mind bending over backwards for, because there's so many who we love. But see, when we stop caring, we miss the chance to let God work in our lives in a supernatural way. What if Joseph had just said to them, said in his heart, man, my brothers hurt me. If anybody should be sad, it should be me. These guys are the chief of the butlers and the chief of the bakers, and whatever they did, they probably deserved it anyway, so I'm not even going to ask. What if he had that type of attitude? Don't we have that attitude sometimes? Sometimes I have that attitude. Don't we have that attitude and says, I'm tired of caring. They got what they deserve. Why should I even help? But you see here in the story of Joseph, Joseph looks at them and says, why are you so sad? The first thing is we should care because we don't know how God is going to work in the future. The second thing is we can care because we trust God with our future. We can care because we trust God with our future. Go back to Genesis chapter number 40. It's probably just a page back. Look what it says in verse number 8. Genesis chapter 40 and verse number 8. And at this point in time, if you're considering when you read your Bible, if you open your hearts and have this imagination and you're really studying it out, at this point in time in my life, if I was Joseph, I would be wondering, even if I cared, I would be wondering, hey, what happened to that dream? When I was a boy, God allowed me to have this dream, and he even allowed me to tell it to my brothers, and even allowed me to tell the second dream to my family. He says, when I was a boy, now that I've been a couple years in the ward, a couple years probably at Potiphar's house, a couple years I've been going all these things, what about my dream? And then when he walks in, he sees him sad, and they look at him, and they says, we're trembling, we're upset, we're worried about a dream because of the fact we had this dream, we don't know what it means, we don't this, we don't that. You know what? Joseph could have looked at them and said, oh, don't worry about that dream. I had this dream when I was a kid. It never came true. But he doesn't. What does he say at the end of verse number 8? He says, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, I pray you. He was saying, God is the one that handles the dream. God is the one that answers the prayers. You can trust God. If God is giving you this dream, you can trust him to make it happen. I think Joseph has faith right now that someday God is going to make that dream happen. Why else would he have kept on serving? Why else would he have looked at Potiphar's wife when he had a chance to experience something that most men his age would be like, yes, sure. He looked at him and says, I cannot sin against my God. It's because he believed that someday God was going to make that dream happen and God was going to make that dream come true. So because of that, he was willing to work the best he could at Potiphar's house. And because of that, he was willing to work as good as he could in the prison. And because of that, he was willing to let his heart be open and be willing to care about someone that really he shouldn't have cared about, because he believed and trusted in God. He believed that God could take it and make it all work together to good. He believed that he could trust God because God had told him a promise before. God had experienced a dream before. And he doesn't look at them and say, oh, forget your dreams. They don't come true. They're just things that sometimes we imagine. No, he says, I trust in God. You know, if you wouldn't have thought about that verse, if that verse wouldn't have been there, if he would have said something like, oh, don't worry about your dreams, he would say, okay, he doesn't think God's going to answer his prayer. But after all these years, he still believes and he trusts that God can take care of his future. Why did Joseph care that they were sad? When you think about all the trials, when you think about all the betrayals, he still cared because he had faith that God was able to interpret the dream. He had faith that God was going to continue on in his dream. And in those dreams, God had made him some promises, and one day he would be in a position of leadership. And one day, even though he didn't fully understand it, but he had faith in it that one day everything would happen the way that God said it was going to happen. And because of that, he was willing to open his heart and say, I'm going to still care because I know I can trust God with my life. We may look at what God promised Joseph and wonder if Joseph ever thought about it and said, well, I wonder if Joseph ever forgot about those dreams. You read in verse number 8, and it says, you know what? Joseph's still trusting God. Joseph hasn't forgot them. Even though he was betrayed, even though he was hurt, he still knew that God was going to keep his word. He knew God was going to work. Joseph knew that God was continually working. And if we stop caring, if we decide to stop opening our heart, then what we're saying is we can't trust God with the end. If we're not going to do what God prompts us to do and leads us to do, we're too afraid that our hearts are going to be broken. And it does hurt sometimes. We're too afraid of being disappointed, too afraid of opening up our hearts and caring about someone because of what they've done before in the past. Then guess what? We're saying, God, I can't trust you to take care of these things. Once again, I think we should be led by the Lord. I think God should lead us and direct us in everything. And, you know, he tells us that we're supposed to show love one to another. And I think we need to make sure that we do this wisely. And God makes us prudent. God gives us his Holy Spirit to lead us and prompt us. But we should not be afraid to open our hearts because we're supposed to trust God for our future. And the third thing, not only can we trust and not only can we care because we don't know how God's going to work in the future and because we can trust in him, but because God is always working too. God is always working. To me, it would have been very easy for Joseph to stop caring. I mean, the reality is, if I was in this spot, if many of us were in this spot, we would be keep on saying, God, where's that dream at? And maybe Joseph said that to the Lord and said, you know what, I'm looking forward to this, Lord. I'm staying faithful, and I'm not going to get my eye off the prize anymore. But what most of us would have said, I'll forget that. If living for God's going to cause me to be hated by my brothers, thrown in a pit, sold into slavery, falsely accused, put in prison, now having to serve more people after all these years, then forget it. I'm going to stop caring. But he doesn't. It's because he understands this. God is always at work. It'd be easy for us to stop. But what if we didn't care? If we stopped believing that God was always at work, then why are we doing what we do? It's when we believe that God is continually working for us and through us. That's what makes it okay for me to open my heart again. Because I know God is working. Now, it's not my job to figure out why he's doing it this way or why he's doing it that way. It's not my job to try to interpret what he is trying to do. It's my job to be faithful. We've all been hurt by people. And when we get hurt, many of us want to stop caring. But we can't stop caring because if we stop caring, we stop ministering. And if we stop ministering, then we're not going to give God the chance to work through us. We need to understand something that people that hurt us do not understand. We need to understand something that people that hurt us do not understand. And that is God never stops working. God is always working. God is always doing something. God always has a plan. He sees the beginning from the end, and he always can take the things and make them work together for good. Joseph looks at his brother and says, you meant as evil for me, but God meant it unto good. You sold me, but God sent me. He understood this truth because of the fact that he believed in God. He trusted in God, and he knew God was still working. If we believe that, as we take step by step faith, God's working. I don't understand why this person isn't getting it. I don't understand why this person continually hurts me. I don't understand it. Why God wants me to be a witness and a help to them. Why God continues to bring this person in my life. But I do believe and trust that God is working and that God can work and that God can do something. So I'm not going to give up on them. I'm not going to close myself off. Yes, it might mean that it hurts. It might mean sometimes I get hurt. But I believe that God can take those things and make those things together for good. Joseph knew and continued to serve. He continued to care. And that's why Joseph never stopped caring, because he believed that God was always at work. People will do what people do, but God never stops. God is always at work. You cannot stop caring because you won't see what God is planning on doing. I began thinking and praying a little bit about different things and situations, thinking, man, where's a cool illustration that I could tell here? But most of us probably have a story of someone we worked with for years or for a period of time, and then you saw God work through them, and God maybe brought them to church, or maybe God saw them saved, or God worked in their heart and their life. I had when I first answered God's call to preach again, I was getting my heart ready and settled. I had an Aunt Margaret. I know you guys heard me talk about Aunt Margaret a little bit before, but my Aunt Margaret was closed to the gospel. She didn't want anything to do with the gospel. She was diagnosed with cancer. And God was working in my heart. I was in Bible college, and I needed to go make sure Aunt Margaret was saved. Can you believe the first time I talked to Aunt Margaret, she didn't get saved? It didn't happen just like that. You know, my heart was ready. It was there. I was ready with my heart. You know, for the first number of times I visited her, she was a little bit rude. You know, my sweet aunt, you know, of course, if you know how sweet of a disposition I have, everybody in my family is really kind and sweet. No, it's not that. She was older, and she was getting ready to die, and the doctor had only given a short time to live, didn't want to have anything to do with it. But, you know, time after time after time of going and talking to her and even shedding some tears, you know, before she passed away, just a short time before she passed away, she called my mom and said that she wanted to get saved. And I was thankful for that. And it was somebody time and time again. If I would have had the attitude, look, you're dying and you're going to hell and you don't want to even listen to me, forget about you. Did it hurt? Of course it hurts when someone rejects you. It hurts. Of course it hurts when your heart is hurting and you want to care and you want to show that as an example. But does it always work out that way? It doesn't. But God is always working. And maybe you've decided in the past, hey, I'm closing up. I'm tired of being hurt. I don't want to serve anymore with an open heart. I'm willing to serve, I'm willing to do, but I just don't want to care. I want to encourage you tonight, because you know that God, you never know what God's doing in the future. That person has hurt you before in the past. God might use that in their heart and their life to turn things around. I can think of people that I've hurt before in the past, and I'm thankful they were faithful to the Lord over the years, and they prayed for me, and they loved me, and they continued on, and they continued on serving. And I'm thankful. I don't think I'm anything special today, but at the same time, I'm thankful for the people that kept on opening their heart to a kind of a rotten kid growing up. And you think about it. If we stop, we're saying, God, we don't think you can fix, we don't think this can help in the future. God, we can't trust you with our lives. We can't trust you with our broken heart. God, we are not seeing how you're working. If God's prompting and God's leading and God's moving you, open your heart. Be willing to give. Be willing to share. Be willing to say, I'm going to try. Now, let's bring this full circle for this morning. Remember, this morning is consciously living in the presence of God. Here is where we can say, I can open my heart because I can trust God, because God is one leading and guiding my life. Sometimes people are on their way to Tarshish. Sometimes people are not listening to God's word. Sometimes people are not listening to God's will for their lives. And then they open their hearts to the wrong people because they're not in where God wants them to be. And they get hurt, they get damaged, and they don't have a God they can turn to because they're not living consciously in the presence of God. And they blame God, and they say, God, why did you let this happen to me? But we forget, we're not where we're supposed to be to begin with. So the most important thing is, we need to get here. We need to be like Joseph. We need to see the story of Joseph. Joseph served and minister time and time again. Of all the different people in the Bible, you don't see Joseph. Was Joseph a sinner? Yes, because all of sin comes short of glory of God. But you don't see Joseph anywhere in there sinning somewhere. I mean, I don't see it in there. Sort of like Daniel. There's not a reference there of a sin that they did. You know, there's, I know some people could say, well, he stayed in Egypt too long, and they can make up their own reasons. But, you know, he is serving God. He is living consciously in the presence of God. He looked at Potiphar's wife and says, I cannot sin against God like that. And he lived for the Lord. He trusted in the Lord. He believed God was working. He couldn't see that he was going to be second in charge of Pharaoh someday. No one could ever see that. Only God could do that. But only thing he could do is stay faithful and be here and consciously in the presence of God. So tonight, have you closed your heart off? Have you stopped wanting to care? Don't get me wrong. I'm sure if you've been in church for as long as me, everybody has some horror stories. can you believe this person said this to me? Yeah, I can. You want to hear my stories? We all have stories of people that have treated us wrong. And for some reason, you come into a church house, sometimes people that are not living consciously in the presence of God, they say things, they do things that are immature, and they do things that make people look at them and said, did they really just say that? Did they really do that? And they're trying to be hurtful. What do? Do we stop caring? Are we going to let someone who's immature and let someone who's not living for God and let someone that is trying to bring damage to the cause of Christ stop you from caring? And the answer is no. Is there a time that we can stop caring? And I think we should be wise. I think we should be prudent. But I think we should be all in and say, God, whatever it is that you have for me. I think of people and the stories that people have of people who, think about Barnabas. When Paul got right with God, nobody wanted anything to do with him. Barnabas took him to that church in Jerusalem and says, here, open your heart to this man. And there's other people throughout the scriptures where nobody wanted Onesimus. Paul writes to Philemon and says, hey, look, put that on my account. Open your heart up to this man. Is it hard? It's not hard to open your heart to someone. But if you've been hurt, if you've had someone mistreat you and abuse you, and if you're that person, let's stop it. Let's grow up. Let's start acting like Christ would want us to act. But if you're the person that's been hurt, don't let that be the excuse to why you're not going to serve the Lord. Be willing to open your heart. You say, Pastor, it might hurt. Sometimes it might hurt. But we trust God. We don't know how God's going to make it work together at the end in the future. We know we can trust him with our lives. He's given us promises, just like he gave Joseph that dream. And we can always guarantee God is working. If God is moving, if God is leading, we do not have to see where we're going. All I need to know is that God is working. I can keep on going. I can keep on doing. I can keep on serving as long as I know God is working and I'm doing what God wants me to do. So have you closed your heart off? Is there something that you say, hey, I'm not going to, let's ask God to help us tonight and show us and lead us and direct us and say, maybe we need to open our hearts. We know there's lost souls out there that need Christ. We know sometimes there's a church family that needs help and encouragement. And I'm not talking about letting somebody abuse you or take advantage of you or blah, blah. I'm not talking about being unwise. I'm talking about caring and loving. And not turning your nose up to somebody and not saying, I can't talk to that person. I can't care about that person. Let God teach you and show you how to minister to people and how to love one another. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet.